Father God, we just thank you for being here tonight. Father, we need the holy angels to come into the sanctuary tonight and do warfare for us. We need your holy angels to tear down the principalities and the powers of darkness that are arrayed around about us tonight. Let your Holy Spirit have full and complete rule and reign in here tonight, Father. Father God, just let all pretense be stripped away from your people tonight. Let us be the true vessels, Father, that you can work through. I thank you for being here, feeding your people tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you're meeting each and every desire of the heart here tonight. I thank you, Father, that you are doing a perfect work within your church. I just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've been reading a lot about, there's so much talk about the prophetic word in the church. How there's so many false prophets, but God did tell us the false prophets were on the scene. And the person who wrote the article even had somebody give them the word that they knew when they gave it wasn't true, but just went ahead and let them finish it and just didn't receive it. But he's saying that, and I didn't know this, but he's saying that the false prophets that are going giving the false words are causing the people to leave the church because the prophetic word they're getting isn't coming to pass. So the people are not blaming the prophet, and they're not blaming themselves. They're blaming God, and they're walking away from God. I think this is an area where you have to be praying, because God's trying to bring the prophetic into the church. But he also told us a couple years ago that the false prophet, he told me maybe 4 years ago now, the false prophets were already on the scene. He said the Jezebels are out full force. There's a whole lot of stuff coming against the body of Christ, and we have to be very aware of that. God's telling me he wants to pull down the strongholds in all of our lives. He doesn't want us to have any strongholds whatsoever, so that we are free to receive all that he has for us. I know the enemy's at work here with this revival, because I'm really struggling to even. I study all day, to tell you the truth. I'll do a set office and study. And I heard yesterday, why don't you just call the revival off? No, that wasn't God. I don't know what this is all about, saints, but the devil's really upset with this. So we just had to be in prayer, deep prayer. And make sure that everything's covered. We can't take anything for granted. It doesn't matter what God calls. The enemy can still work behind the scenes and try to wreak havoc. Tonight I want to talk about God's grace. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Thank you, Brother Brett, for laying down and praying for the service tonight. Ephesians 2, 1 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I don't believe the church has grasped the truth of God's grace through his son Jesus as of yet. If the church has already grasped the truth of that, we wouldn't have so many false teachings on it. You know, so there's so many out there using grace and they're using it wrong and leading the body of Christ astray. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." So we all have to understand here tonight, it's you didn't do anything to be what you are. It's by the grace of God that you're still alive, still breathing, you know, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain." Do you hear that? Paul says his grace towards him was not in vain. In other words, Paul is saying, "I'm going to make this race. I'm going to finish it. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." In other words, he's saying God's grace wasn't given to me in vain, but he had to labor hard. And he had to labor harder than the other disciples. In other words, the enemy came after him harder than he did the other disciples. Amen. You have to remember that Paul was not one of the original disciples. "Since the grace of God does the laboring and God has foreordained our good works, then the grace of God is a provision we need to walk in the anointing." And this is why I want to teach this tonight. It is the grace of God that we need. It's a provision we need to walk in the anointing. God has prophesied and said, "Cease from your labors and enter into my rest." He preached that for quite a few years in here, that we had to enter into his rest. And we had to do, he knew that we were going to come to this place in our walk with him. And he knew that we had to be walking in the anointing by his grace. Each of us needs a manifestation of God's grace. Even Paul, the great apostle, had to humble himself in order to receive God's grace. Paul had a thorn in his life. Everything in Christ comes with a price. If you really read what Paul had to go through, he paid a big price to be who he was. The anointing is very costly. It costs to have a vision. It costs to have a dream and to be a pioneer, which is a forerunner. It costs to go against the tide of family, friends, and public opinion. Paul had a great revelation of Jesus. Because of that vision, he had a great responsibility to give the revelation out to others. I'm going to read that again. Paul had a great revelation of Jesus. And because of that vision, he had a great responsibility to give the revelation out to others. So when you start getting revelations from God, then your responsibility to the rest of the body of Christ increases. So if you're crying out for more revelation from God, then what you need to do is stay in God's grace and stay close to him, because the enemy is going to come after you and he's going to attack you. You're going to have to understand beforehand that there's a price to pay for any gift that God gives you. There's a price to pay for every ounce of anointing that you carry. And the enemy doesn't mind trying to take it from you. Revelations are always accompanied by challenges. Most likely you will be misunderstood and criticized for going on with God. Because he fears your power, Satan will assign demons to follow you and attempt to put you down at every turn. But the good news is this: God's grace is sufficient in every battle. You are not destined to defeat. You are destined to victory. Let's read that again. Most likely you will be misunderstood and criticized for going on with God. Because he fears your power, Satan will assign demons to follow you and attempt to put you down at every turn. But the good news is this, God's grace is sufficient in every battle. You are not destined to defeat, you are destined to victory. And I wrote that because today I've been praying about somebody and who left here. And finally I said, God, why won't you tell me why they left? He said, because you offended them. I said, well, how on earth did I ever offend them? He said, you didn't, but they perceived offense. And so they not only took themselves, they took others with them. That's what happens in the body of Christ. Like I was talking to Gary Whetstone's wife, Faye, years ago, and we were talking about how people leave the church. And she said, Barbara, don't be upset because with your little church, when two leave, you see that. But with our church of over 2,000, they leave 500 at a time. And you can't see that because we're big. So she said, don't worry about it. Just keep right on going. And see what happens here. If one person gets a little bit of a speck in their eye, they aren't happy with just them leaving. They take everybody they can with them. I know when God called me out of a church, I didn't say anything to anybody. I just went home that day after church service, and here come this couple. And they said, you're not coming back, are you? Because they walked in the Spirit. I said, no, it was a Spirit-filled church. I said, God told me to leave. And they said, we're leaving too. I said, no, no, please don't. He called me out, not you. And so they were adamant they were going to leave too. They weren't going back either. So I went back with them that night just so they would go back into the church because I did not want them to follow me. And I was sure sorry I went because that pastor got all over me. And seeing God told him, when you leave here this morning, don't you ever come back here again. And I went back just so they would go back. And so in the ruckus of her, what they did to me, then more left. If I would have just been content to listen to God and not go back, just the one couple would have left. But see, don't do that in the house of God, dear Lord. You know, if you have a church, you don't need somebody else's sheep. If God's called you to start a church, He'll bring you the sheep He wants you to minister to. You don't need to go around stealing everybody else's. Believe me, you know, every time somebody comes in here from another church, I say, thank you, Jesus, because I don't know what they're bringing with them. How did they leave the other church? If they left disgruntled, then they'll leave here disgruntled, you know. If they left because God told them to leave and they left with the grace of God, then they'll stay here with the grace of God. Are you understanding this? A lot of you are going to be starting your own ministries, and you have to know this right up front. 2 Corinthians 12:6-10. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. This is Paul again. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. See, Paul is saying that he has such great revelation of Jesus that if he didn't get the thorn in the flesh, you know, this, then he would walk in pride, is more or less what he was saying, and he'd miss out on his calling. So he knows that he has to have the thorn in the flesh. What is a thorn in the flesh? It is a person walking around causing him problems. It's not a thorn, you know, not from a rose bush, like a lot of people used to preach when I was first growing up. And verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, you know, this thorn. And God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, he was saying he didn't care if somebody was coming against him. He would grow better if he had that. So instead of us fussing when somebody's coming against us, why don't we just do like Paul did and just start glorying in that thing, because you know that through that thorn in your flesh, God is truly exalting you. He's teaching you how to walk by grace. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. You know, he's saying if anything's that because of what he's doing for Christ, then he takes pleasure in it. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, when you're weak, when you have somebody coming against you, then what happens is Jesus steps in and he undergirds you. And you're stronger than you were. And you get all excited, you know, and everything. And you're stronger than what you were before you went into that thing. If you really watch what you go through, you'll find out each time you go through something, you come out a little bit stronger than when you went into the thing. You have more wisdom and more understanding of what God is doing in your life. The more we do for God and the greater the anointing we carry, the greater will be the effort of the enemy to discourage us. He will buffet us any way he can. He doesn't bother those who are doing nothing. He goes to the churches / people, you individuals, that are getting things accomplished for God. He goes where people are praying and worshiping God, where darkness is being challenged, where demons are being confronted. And because if you're not doing anything against his kingdom, he's not going to worry about you. I'm talking about churches or people. He's going to let you go ahead and do whatever you want to do because you're no threat to him. But the minute you start doing something against his kingdom, then you become a threat, and then he comes after you. Satan hates people who are so full of God that they could be shot at, spit at, or cut down with words, and still they would smile and love. Wow. Let's read that one again. Because we don't fit this criteria, really. Satan hates people who are so full of God that they could be shot at, spit at, or cut down with words, and still they would smile and love. The smile and love parts is what I'm talking about here. Because he is afraid of those people, he goes after them. Are you hearing me here? So, be thankful for God's grace. When the enemy comes after you, be thankful for God's grace, because his grace is sufficient and his grace will see us through every trying time. Satan hates people who are content in whatever state they find themselves. Well, I don't think too much of many of us have to be concerned about that one right now tonight, because I don't know if too many people that are content in the state they're in. Amen. So we're going to work on that, aren't we? Satan hates people who are content in whatever state they find themselves. He particularly hated Paul. I mean, Paul did a lot of damage. But just look what Paul did, though. He did a lot of good for Satan. And then Jesus got a hold of him. And Paul was not out seeking Jesus. Get out of here. He wasn't. He was on the road with a whole bunch of papers in his pocket looking for people he could do the harm to, right? And Jesus got a hold of him, turned him around, and then he tore the devil's kingdom down. You know what I've noticed in my walk with God? People who are, how do I want to word this? I'm going to say cocky. You know, I watch people, and you know, this isn't a bad thing, though. I don't think, you know, they don't care. They just get out there and do whatever. You know, they're not humble. You know, they're not quiet and meek. They just get out there and they just do. They really do destroy the kingdom of darkness. But us little humble ones, meek and mild. All right. We don't do that much damage to the kingdom. I'm sort of talking to God about this one, you know, about why certain things happen with certain people. I'm just going to use Brother Chris Gore as an example, all right, of what I'm talking about. You know, he takes his pictures. He thinks he's really handsome. You know, he just struts his stuff. He plasters them everywhere. And I'm thinking, why does he do that? You know, he thinks he's it. No, this isn't bad. This isn't bad. I have to use somebody as an example, all right? I want to get my picture taken. But he'll get, boy, and he just smiles and goes on, you know, and he'll come up with some pictures he took of me, and I said, throw that away, Chris. That's good. No, it's not. But he thinks every picture he takes of himself is excellent. Remember when he used to sing solos? One day he sang a song, and I said, please don't ever sing. And I said in front of everybody, don't ever sing that song again. You cannot sing that song. You can't carry the tune. But he just sticks his foot in there and just does whatever, you know, and thinks he's good at it. What did you say? Who said that? But he just gets in there, you know, and then he stands there like, well, how come you don't understand what I just did? One day I said to him years ago, I said, Chris, you got to cool it down a little bit. You just a bit too blunt here, you know. But he tears down the kingdom of darkness. See, now he might get mad at me later on, but he'll get over it. But, you know, this is just, I'm saying, have you seen people like that? Who is that? Katie Sozo? She's the one that was in prison, and she was out there selling drugs and in the mafia and everything. She did all that for the devil. Old and everything else, you know. Got out of prison, got in prison, and got saved, and got out of prison. Out there tearing the kingdom of darkness down. Boldness. Are you listening to what I'm saying here? Are you listening to what I'm thinking about? So what do we have to be? Another Katie Sozo? And I said, well, God, you know, I said, Jesus, you see, because I can't be like that. I've tried. I said, Jesus, you were humble and quiet, but yet you tore the kingdom of darkness down. So what I'm getting at here really is that we can all tear the kingdom of darkness down. We don't have to be loud and boisterous, stand there thinking, look at me, like Chris Gore does. Come on, let's get our picture. I want to go on TV. I'll go on radio, Pastor Barbara. I'll do that. So he thinks he can do all things. But yet, then you have the humble people who say, well, I don't want out in the limelight. I can't be loud and boisterous. I don't think that, you know, that everything's just hunky-dory. In other words, I don't think I can do all things. I mean, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, but I can't do all things like some people do. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say here? So let's not try to put ourselves in a category of somebody else. We are what we are. Now, if you ever watch Nancy Willis, Reverend Nancy Willis preach, she gets up here and she lets it all hang out. Just lets it come out the way, you know, just the way that God wants to use her. And I love to hear her I really do love to hear her preach, and she has quite anointing when she preaches, well, she has anointing anyhow. But I watch her and I think, she's another Kathy Walters, you know. Kathy Walters, you know, somebody said, told her in a store, called her a gypsy, and she said to her husband, that lady thought I was a gypsy. He said, well, you dress like one. You know, she wrote this on her little blog. Well, you dress like one, honey, so that's what they're going to think, you are one. She doesn't change the way she dresses or anything. It just doesn't. But yet she tears down the kingdom of darkness. So let's not try to put ourselves in a mold. We are what we are. We're either quiet or we're a Christopher Gore. I have to keep him reined in every now and then, though, because sometimes he does some dumb things. But anyhow, it's better to do dumb things than no things. Are you listening? God would rather have you get out there and do something as rather sit there and do nothing. Well, anyhow, you got that point now. I don't care what kind of personality we have, we can tear the kingdom of darkness down. That's the point. By the grace of God. Brother Allen's just looking at me like, come on. I've lost my place. 2 Corinthians 4. We are I know, I just said it a couple of times. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Now listen to what Paul's saying here. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. See, we have to carry the body of Jesus Christ around all the time. That we can't put him on a shelf whenever we feel like it. He's in us to stay. Amen? And because he's in us to stay, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction..." You want to talk to Paul about that, Brother Allen? "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Thank you, Brother Brett. You cause it to lift. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So he called it a light affliction, but we all know it was, he never went through a light affliction. But he wasn't going to say, "Oh, that dreaded affliction I had to go through," because he had already died, his body had already died out to Christ Jesus. And he knew he was carrying Jesus Christ within him. So it was just a light affliction. And he said, "But it only lasted for a moment." He just lied. Probably lasted like some of ours do, on and on and on. But see, he didn't look at it like that. Why? Because, like we said, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He knew this. What he was going through was for a greater drop of God's glory. And he was going to go through whatever he had to go through to get that greater glory. All right? And this is what this is why I teach this night, because we need to go through whatever we have to go through in order to receive that glory, that greater glory that God is bringing upon the earth. And I'm trying not to grow weary in saying that. God is working in us to bring forth the eternal and the beautiful. The eternal and the beautiful. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." We have to get all these fruits working in us. We have to get them activated. They have to stay activated. Remember years and years and years and years ago, whenever God told me through a prophet, "You know, I'm going to cut down your tree. And when I grow back up again, your fruit will be good to eat." So we have to make sure every one of our fruit is good to eat. We have to make sure that that fruit is so good that people will run to it. Because of the Jesus that's inside of you. Are you listening here? See, you need to write down Galatians 5:22 through 25 and just study the fruit and check yourself every day. Is a fruit of peace there? Is a fruit of joy there? Is a fruit of love there? If one of these fruits are not there, you need to work on that fruit every day. Because God said we have to walk out our salvation every day. So this is part of this is our salvation. This fruit is our salvation. And if we're not walking in that fruit, our salvation's at stake. And verse 24 says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Hello. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Have you crucified all those desires? All those passions? "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." See, there's a if. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." In other words, saints of God, we must be walking in the Spirit all the time. All the time. We just can't do it just every now and then. We have to do it all the time. And that's the problem with the body of Christ. Remember years ago, 5 years ago now, God said, "You have to be walking in the Spirit now, because Spirit is called the Spirit, and all religion is dead." He said, it's spirit called to spirit. And I preached about that and preached about that. But did the people get it? We have to be walking in the spirit. And if we're walking in the spirit, we're not going to be offended all the time. Now, would you hear what she said? Must be having a bad moment. Walk on. Forget about it. It's walking in the spirit. You just don't take offense at what people say, or, you know, or they, so they might have something in mind. They might not answer you just the way you should. And like, just like little Gabriel, I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about what I'm going to preach on. I'm praying, trying to hear God's voice. And he'll ask me a question, and I guess I answer sharply. He said, why are you mad at me? I said, I'm not, sweetie. Why'd you say that? Well, you talked mad to me. But see, he took offense to something that one, I didn't even know I was even saying it. So why do we do that? Because we're not walking in the Spirit. We have to be walking in the Spirit. Resting in the grace of God will prepare us for anything. You know, Martha and Mary, which one was doing the cooking? Thank you. I always get that messed up. So Martha was doing the cooking, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just slobbering everything out he was doing, right? So Martha comes in to Jesus and said, make her come out and help prepare this food. And Jesus said, no, well, she's doing better than you out there cooking. And you know, I was getting ready to fuss about something today to myself, and that popped into my head. I said, okay, Lord, I won't fuss about that. Well, you know, because I'm just trying to do everything for the revival, you know, and then somebody else in the house are just lollygagging around, da-da-da-da-da, you know. And I was going to fuss about that, but right away that scripture came into my mind. Mary, right, sat at the feet. Mary thought it was better to sit at God's feet, Jesus' feet, than go out and help cook the meal for the people. I bet she helped eat it, though. So, if Martha didn't like what she was doing, Martha should have said, well, you guys are going to have to go cook because us women are going to sit at the feet of Jesus. If you expect to eat, you're just going to have to cook it yourself. Instead of fussing about it like Martha was, think about that. Next time you fuss about somebody that they're not doing what you think they should be doing and making you do all the work, you don't have to do all that work. You can be like Martha. I mean, Mary. It was Mary. Be like Mary and just go sit at the feet of, oh, I'm going to rest at the feet of Jesus now. All right? Resting in the grace of God will prepare us for anything. With every precious and costly thing from God, there will be a satanic thorn, a sign to keep us shut up, locked up, and captive. Amen. These satanic messengers will try to keep us from a place of exaltation or divine promotion in God's kingdom. These satanic messengers will try to keep us from a place of exaltation or divine promotion in God's kingdom. You have to remember all this stuff, guys. The victory that overcomes this buffeting, saving us from defeat, is a revelation of grace through faith. God's grace will see you through anything that the enemy's throwing at you. It'll just see you through. But see, you have to understand that and give God the room to work on the situation. This grace gave Paul the ability to rise up and receive the power of Christ to be victorious over the thorn. Now here's Paul, greatly called by God, great revelation of the kingdom of God. And one night he had to get in a basket. He was running for his life, and he had to get in a basket and be lowered down over the wall to escape. Now, if he was so wonderful in God's kingdom, why didn't an angel just come and smack them people around a little bit and let him walk through past them? I mean, that's what some people would say. But even that did not deter Paul. He didn't care that he had to hide in a basket and be lowered. That didn't bring him any disgrace or anything. He had to do what he had to do to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding that? See, we don't want any waves in the water. We want everything to be perfectly still Because after all, we're a child of God. After all, we're working for the kingdom of God. After all, I'm so anointed. Well, that's why the waves. If you didn't have any anointing and weren't doing anything, you wouldn't have any waves either. So quit trying to walk through this walk with God thinking that nothing is ever going to happen to you. Because it will. The Bible tells us those who are in Christ Jesus will suffer. This grace gave Paul the ability to rise up and receive the power of Christ to be victorious over the thorn. The grace of God in Paul's life was always sufficient, never insufficient. My grace is sufficient. You should always remember, just hear God keep saying that, my grace is sufficient. And just go ahead and walk through whatever life brings you. If Paul received Christ's power to transform his weakness into God's perfect strength, then we can too. If Paul received Christ's power to transform his weakness into God's perfect strength, then we can too. I believe with all my heart that some people in the body of Christ are going through this right now. That you have a thorn in the flesh and that Satan's trying everything he can, you know, to bring you down. But you have to understand that God's grace is sufficient and God's grace is going to see you through it. Don't get discouraged and quit. Matthew 11:12 says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. When I was first born again in 1977, God gave me that scripture. He was telling me, daughter, going to have to take everything by force. Are you listening? Hasn't changed. It's gotten worse. The world is getting darker and darker. It isn't getting lighter, believe me. And so you're going to have to take everything by force. This scripture tells us that the kingdom of God is taken by violent men and women. Violent men and women are those who want to do something to make a difference. Oh, is that why you do that? You want to make a difference? They have initiative. According to the gospel, we are all businessmen. In the end, we shall all stand before God and give an account of our property and its increase. When I was first started church, I said, God, I don't know how to run a church. He says, you run it just like you do a business, and you run businesses so you can do this. Now, at the end of my race, I'm going to stand before God and give him an account of how well I did or did not do this business venture with him. And some people, people have preached sermons or the fact that it is not a business. Then what is it? You and I look at some of the big mega churches that have all these buses and limousines, and that's a business. You have to run that thing like a business, or you're not going to have all that stuff. Just like that one guy, his electric bill is $1 million a month. He has to have a business going there somewhere. Amen? So whatever you do in life, when you stand before God, you're going to have to give him an account of why you didn't do more than you did do. Or he'll say, well done, one or the other. How does God bring forth these fiery men and women? He sovereignly allows challenges and thorns to come our way and supervises the cultivation. How does God bring forth these fiery men and women? He sovereignly allows challenges and thorns to come our way and supervises the cultivation. Thank you, Jesus. This conflict with the powers of evil draws something out of us. Are you hearing? This conflict with the powers of evil draws something out of us, bringing us into a place of ownership. Remember, that which we have had to fight for belongs to us in a way that a gift never does. You know, that's the problem with our kids now. They've been handed everything on a silver platter. And they don't appreciate anything. Nothing. But that which we have had to fight for belongs to us in a way that a gift never does. See, I was brought up where at 10 years old, I was out working. Had to pay my own way in life. When I went to high school, I had to buy my jacket. You know, we used to have the jackets and had to buy my class ring all by myself. So to this day, everything I get, I appreciate, and it really bothers me that people just come in and tear it apart. because I know what it is to work hard for what I have all my life. And, but these kids nowadays don't. By young, I could mean 30-year-olds, you know. I've seen some 30-year-olds, I think, really now? You know? 35-year-olds standing on my front porch spitting snot over my porch. Now, come on. You know. You don't do that kind of stuff. But they've never had anything. You know, this person's never had anything, so they never had to worry about how to take care of it. Are you understanding this? And this is the way with our walk with God. You know, you have to take care of the Holy Spirit. You have to minister to Him constantly. You have to take care of your salvation. And you even have to take care of the grace of God. Don't walk over the grace of God. We have to maintain these things. God has planned for His children to turn every thorn into an opportunity to trust Him. Are y'all hearing this? Every conflict you go through is a thorn, and God has planned for His children to turn every thorn into an opportunity to trust Him. We can use every challenge to increase our faith and stewardship towards God. Hear what we said here. We can use every challenge to increase our faith and stewardship towards God. The supreme goal of God is not for us to go to heaven, but for us to get heaven in us. And if we get heaven in us, we're going to go to heaven, right? His character, His faith, His love must be worked out in us. Making us joint heirs with Him, everything beautiful is accompanied by a thorn. Aren't you so glad I'm preaching this tonight? Doesn't that really encourage you? It really should. Doesn't that encourage you, Brother Allen? Yeah, sure, it does. Mm-hmm. You had the old bush thrown at you, right? Making us joint heirs with Him, everything beautiful is accompanied by a thorn. Revelation will bring persecution and warfare, guys. You guys are getting all this revelation in your deliverance the things you have. It's going to bring warfare. Perhaps it is more valuable for us to know that every thorn can produce something beautiful. You guys in the back, do you understand that? All this mess you're going through, it can produce something beautiful. But we have to let God do that. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Start that over again. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Boy, we really had to work on that, haven't we, guys? And we really had to keep this hope thing going, didn't we? Because I tell you, all this mess we've been going through, it's been rough. Right? Let's read that again, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. I'm going to tell you guys, I wish I'd have known all this when I was first born again. Because, see, I didn't ever have any trouble until I got born again. Then I became a threat to the enemy. Then he came after me, but I was never in any church that taught me any of this stuff. You know, we've just been out there floundering around like fish out of water. And that's why God told me, He said, I don't want man to teach you anything. I want you to be taught by the Holy Spirit. And God started opening up the scriptures to me. And I would go to my pastors and say, well, this is what that scripture says. It does not either. Go sit down. You know, they didn't have the revelation. And so God wants to give us all revelation of His word. Not just one or two, not just a pastor, because I'm telling you what, some pastors don't know nothing about the word, they just give it. We have to have the word come from the innermost part of our being. When we read it, when we hear it, it has to sink in to the innermost part of our being. It just cannot go in our ears and float around up here in this dumb head. the other day I was praying. I said, God, I went, put my hands around my throat, like what you call it does, whatever his name is. I forgot his name. And I said, God, I don't want this to go in my head. I want it to go right into my heart. I want your answer to go right into my spirit, Perry Stone. Yeah. He said he always chokes himself and won't let anything come from his head to his spirit. Really what he means, just goes like this and choke himself. And so each one of us need to do that. Instead of letting this dumb stuff that Satan puts into here, don't let it be transferred down into your heart. Don't let it go there. Just say, nope, hold your throat until you're not bypassing. You're not going through here. I'm going to pray and get you out of there. You don't want to have a chance to go down into my spirit and contaminate my spirit. All right? God has cut a covenant with man through Jesus Christ. God's word, his covenant of grace, is our final authority and enabling force. God is desirous that we take hold of his faith and touch his grace. We are delivered by grace through faith in God's covenant word. We are delivered by grace through faith. In other words, we have faith to know that God's going to bring us through by his grace. All right. Everybody sitting in here tonight, it was your faith that got you to even think about Jesus. And it was God's grace that pulled you out of that pigsty you were sitting in and brought you into his kingdom. But you had to have the faith, first of all, well, I'll at least try it. You know, you had a little dab of faith there somewhere. I'll try this thing and see how it works out. Worked out pretty good, didn't it? Aren't you happy? You get to wave the flags and dance. You know, you get to prophesy. No, you, I don't know if you did know. You get to help do deliverances. See, isn't it wonderful? Instead of the devil working and dancing all over you, why don't you go ahead and get rid of him and get into the kingdom of God, fully into the kingdom of God, and let God use you to work for him. You'll be so much more happier working for God than you were for the devil. Isn't that right, Brother Brett? I was going to ask you a question, but I thought that isn't right because then I know you used to hallucinate on a trip. He said, God took him on a trip last night. And I was going to say, the devil doesn't take you on a trip, but he does. Right? But God's trips are so much better, aren't they? You don't have a hangover near you come out of them, do you? No, it's like... God is so much better than the devil, isn't he? See, Brother Brett was brought up out of the throes of hell, weren't you, Brother Brett? The devil had him. So, see, these people that I use as an example, they don't care because they know what it was to be bound, and they know what it is to be free. And as the people look at them and say, wow, you were there, and look what God's done with you now, you know? When Sister Mary first met Brother Allen, she wouldn't even hardly believe in what he was saying. And now she's a firm believer, right? Last time she told me anyhow. I don't know if she changed her mind the last 20 minutes. But, you know, come on. You know, we all have to start somewhere. Why don't we start with faith? Step into grace. And then just take a free ride. That's what it amounts to. Because everything we get from God is free. Where am I at? We know that God is not a man. Yeah. We know that God is not a man that he should lie. Our faith must be put in his ability. In other words, we can trust a person who does not lie. And God does not lie. So we can trust him. You lie to me one time, I'm done with you. Because then I can't trust you from that point on. You know, my father taught me about lying, and he couldn't stand somebody lying, and neither can I. None of us can ever be good enough to come to God or to walk in the anointing and bear any fruit. You hear that? None of us can ever be good enough to come to God, you know, on our own, I'm talking about, or to walk in anointing and bear any fruit. That is why his grace comes to us through his covenant. It is his grace that makes us good, righteous, and holy. Trust and believe God. He believes and trusts you with his grace. That should be his. He believes and trusts you with his grace. If we totally understood the grace of God, we should never again judge or criticize ourselves or others. Walk in the light you have been given. Seek and hunger for more of his covenant of grace. Our Father is bringing forth an overcoming church to bring glory to the Son. Do you get the impression that overcoming is important to God? We have been made overcomers and more than conquerors in this life. We have been made overcomers and more than conquerors in this life. That is a fact. It's not fiction. God's people should be different. We should be special. We are made to live and walk in the Spirit of God. We are made to live and walk in the Spirit of God. We are made to live and walk in the Spirit of God. You have to get that in your spirit. You are not made to float around in this God-forsaken world. You are made to walk in the Spirit of God. You were not made to live in this world and be totally unhappy and miserable. You were not made for that. Now, if you suffer for Christ, that's one thing. If you suffer for junk, that's a totally different story. And a lot of people suffer for junk. In other words, what other people do to you. And not because you love the Lord, but just because they're ignorant. They hurt you, they abuse you, you know, they kick you all around, and they say, "What's your problem?" Isn't that what they say? If we are going to be overcomers, then we can't be afraid to be different. If we are going to be overcomers, we can't be afraid to be different. We must boldly live and walk beyond the natural and the normal in our work for the Lord. We must boldly live and walk beyond, the natural and the normal in our work with the Lord. Those who choose to live godly in Christ will not get bored. I'll keep you busy. Just come around. I won't let you sleep either, right? There are too many battles to fight, decisions to be made, and devils to stop. You work for God, you'll never be bored a second in your life. I can guarantee you that, because the devil's going to be chasing you all over the place. You'll be fighting all the time. Got all your battle gear on. An overcomer faces many battles and difficulties. An overcomer faces many battles and difficulties. Without a fight, there will be no victories. Step out of normality and into real Christianity. The scars are worth it all when we see the glorious victory in Jesus. Now, see, you gave your heart to Jesus thinking that everybody was going to just love you, gush all over you, you know, be your best friend. And you found out that was not true. You thought you'd never have another problem in your life. That's how I went into this. I was so happy I couldn't stand myself. And then the church pulled the rug right up underneath me. And I tell you the truth, I got treated worse in the church than I did in the world. People in the world, we were like a big family when I worked at the college or any place I worked, really. And we just didn't hurt each other. We were there for each other. You know, if one was hurting, we all hurt. You know what I'm saying? But in the church, "Oh, you're down? Well, let me kick you." You know? Are you listening back there? Walking with God is victorious. It really is. But there's always a battle. You have battles in the world, too. But you think that's all right. But you don't want to have any battles in the church, you know, with God. Remember, to him who overcomes, God will give a crown of life. God told me one time, I stand and preach, and said, "Daughter, don't let any man steal your crown." Each one of us in here today, we have a crown. Don't let the enemy come and steal it. It's in the Bible. Read the Bible. It tells you, talks about your crown. Without the grace of God, we would have no victory to celebrate. Aren't you glad you have some victory to celebrate, Sister Grace? Aren't you glad you went through all those difficulties and now you had all the victory and you shout and scream and carry on, right? It wasn't fun going through them, though, was it? But when you get through them, it's wonderful. But see, what God is trying to get us to do tonight by God's grace is to go through the battle victorious. Not fussing about it, but going through it knowing that we've already won and laughing at the devil. when he socks you in the eye, say, oh, you want to hit the other eye too? Right? And you know, see, but we don't. We go through our battles in a mess. We go through our battles complaining. And God's trying to get us to quit doing that. If we could become like Paul and know the value of God's grace, we would quit complaining when trouble comes our way. The time has come for the church to be radical for the Lord. Are you guys back there ready to be radical for the Lord? Because what's happening here is God's bypassing the church and he's bringing new people in and he's going to clean them up and use them. Now you have to be radical for the Lord. You're not new, so you don't. That's not a good excuse for you. You have to be radical for the Lord. Come on. Don't be an average Christian anymore. Boy, I didn't know. I typed four messages. I didn't have all that in this one. Don't be an average Christian anymore. Be bold. Will you go check the weather or something outside? No. Be bold for the Lord. You know? Get out there and let your light shine. I'm going to give him a lampshade. Come on. Be bold for the Lord. The reason why the church is not overflowing is because we are not bold for the Lord. We sit in here, we do one thing in here, then we go out there, we act just like the world, and you aren't drawing them to nothing. They already have what you're showing them. We're supposed to be showing them Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be saying, hey, open your eyes, there's a big angel standing there. But see, because we can't comprehend that ourselves, we can't tell somebody else what's standing either, can we? We have to be bold. You know, I'm going to bring Kathy Walters into this again because I read her blog all the time and she gets on her, she says all kind of stuff and I thought, really? I want to make a trip to India and y'all can help me by paying into PayPal. That's bold, right? You know, this is what I'm talking about, being bold. And she gets all the money she wants. That's being bold. And she goes over to wherever and God just shows up and does all kind of miracles. This is the way we have to be. We have to quit thinking we're I don't know what. But we just have to be bold for the Lord and just let God use us the way we are. Calls people, my little duckies, how are you today? You know? And see, I can't do that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying that's what she does. And look how God moves in her life. See, I'm trying to get you people to believe God, to understand God's going to use you just as you are. Not as a sinner, but he's going to clean you up. But when he gets you cleaned up, he's going to use you just as you are. When Brother Brett sent me that email and said, God took Nancy for a trip, and then he took me for a trip, I said, what is this mess? I did. I said, God, you haven't taken me for no trip. What's so special about them two? They got 8 kids. Don't have 2 pennies rubbed against each other and you're taking them on trips. I'm being honest. That's how I felt. And I had to read it right before I walked out the door. I'm not going to check my email no more before I leave the house. Now see, I could stand here and say, I think that's wonderful. I do think it's wonderful. But I could act like it didn't bother. If it did bother me, that's what I said. I said, I'm checking out myself. But you know what I said to you this week? Come on. Maybe I need a harder hit with one of the flag sticks. I've done lost my place. Oh, don't be an average Christian. Is that where I was at? Let God turn you into another person. I tried that one time, got me in trouble. Oh, well, God, you can do anything you want to with me. Is that what you're saying to yourselves right now? Do it. Do whatever you want to with me, Lord. And no, that's good. That's good to say that. And then use me for your glory. Come on. Walk in the anointing. Yes, the anointing is costly. Yes, it will require obedience. But by the grace of God, you can begin today to live beyond the natural and into the supernatural where miracles become a way of life. Maybe that's why we don't go on chariot rides. We're not like Kathy Walters. Maybe that's why, you know, she just is just her. You know, and, you know, angels come to her all the time. You know, God gives her heart's desire. She wants another ring. He gives her another ring. She wants a necklace. He gives her a necklace. And these things aren't cheap either. He gives her whatever she needs. What is our problem? She was messed up too before she got saved. Sometimes I say, God, I think I would like to have been messed up before I got saved. But because those who are messed up, you're doing wonderful things for them. And I'm standing here thinking, did I miss the boat back then? You know, I didn't. But I'm just being serious. Those things go through my little head. And I think they go through all your little heads too. Or they will at some point in your walk with God. It's God's grace. God's grace. You know, if you really look at the way you minister, you do wild things. But you don't see it because you're doing it. Oh, you can see what somebody else is doing. So be content with what God is doing through you, Barbara. And quit looking at what kind of trips Nancy and Brent are going through. Are you ready, really and truly, to receive the fullness of God's grace? That's I hate shaking my head because, you know, older people, they say they go, and I don't want to do that. So I'm trying not to shake my head. But, you know, we need the fullness of God's grace. We really do. Did it just get dim on this side of the altar? Is that just me? Did it get dim? Did you do something? Oh, you took the thing down. All right. I thought something was going on. I'm really trying to get it down into your spirits. We need God's grace like never before. You know, really, when I see a drug addict that the poor thing's shooting their needles all through their arms and stuff, you know, and they're so strung out, they don't even know what day it is. I say, God, but for the grace of God, there I would go. Yeah. And I feel sorry for a drug addict. Don't you feel sorry for a drug addict, Brother Brett? Yeah. Because, you know, they can't control themselves. They have no life. Anybody that's rooted in deep sin, they have no life. They really can't even laugh without a spirit doing something. But for the grace of God, there go I. Everybody in this sanctuary, I'm waiting from now, from this day forward, when you see somebody doing something, quit judging them. Say, there for the grace of God, go I. But for the grace of God, go I. When you remember, God gave me that vision of a big highway and the bodies on both sides of the highway. And I said, God, what is that? And he said, that's people who began in the ministry but fell along the wayside. He said, don't you ever be one of those. But for the grace of God, I'm so glad for that vision. Because every time I think about stepping down, sitting down, I remember that vision. But for the grace of God, he gave me that vision. Are you understanding? Every time God gives you something, it's for a purpose. And one day you'll look at that and say, but for the grace of God, if he hadn't given me that message, I would have made the wrong turn. It's God's grace that keeps us going. It's God's grace that picks us up when nobody else will. Are you understanding? God's grace is so great. God wants to give you what he's called, I'm hearing it, I never heard of this, but his divine grace tonight. And he's saying it's a grace that is all sufficient. It's a grace that the enemy will not be able to touch. It's his divine grace that's going to see each and every one of us through every battle that we have to fight. And he's saying that divine grace that he wants to impart within you tonight. It's going to save you from battles that would have destroyed you.